Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
We talked to the INTO yesterday about in relation to primary schools. But of course today, the ASCI General Secretary Ciarán Christie says a successful reopening of schools is predicated on achieving all the confidence of all involved. He says teachers, like all workers, must return to a virus-secure workplace. And to talk a bit more about that today is Dermot Dupreer, who is the Deputy General Secretary of the ASCI. Good afternoon to you, Dermot.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so where are we right now? I mean, parents out there are wondering, are my kids going back to school as they would have in January? Somewhat. We understand, obviously, precautions must be taken in relation to hygiene and washing hands and coughing into elbows and all that sort of carry on. But where do we stand now getting back to school in September as far as you're concerned?
Well, the first thing I would say is that teachers, like everybody else, would love to be able to go back to exactly where we left off now. As you said, that won't be possible, but as near as possible to that. So where are we now? I suppose we're a little bit clearer because there have been guidelines issued. Interesting, the new minister has, come back a bit from where the previous minister had saying that people would be going back and there'd be no need for social distancing, whereas the new minister is saying there should be social distancing in schools.
Well, Joe McHugh gave us the sense that everything would go back to normal in September. Yeah. That was the kind of sense he gave us at the time.
Yeah, and I don't think it can. But there are issues. At least there's now guidelines and something we can talk about and sit down and try and discuss. But there are big issues because there are big, huge practical issues. Because if you're talking about 1 metre guidelines, social distancing in classrooms, for most schools, that's actually not practical.
No,
practicable.
It's not possible.
Classrooms aren't big enough. Schools are, I was at a meeting with principals and deputy principals yesterday, and one of them was talking about his school, which is built for, has 600 to 700 students, and a school built for 350. And that is not uncommon.
No, she'd need the distance police in the hallways all the time as well.
And people say, use the hall or the canteen for classrooms, and they say, we're already doing
okay.
That.
But Dermot, I get what you're saying, and I know what the regulations are saying, and I know what the guidelines are saying, and basically what I heard the TUI last night on prime time, and the INTO yesterday, and again yourselves today, and obviously in relation to what your General Secretary, Ciarán Christie, has said, that, you know, until the workplace, like every other workplace, is a virus-secure area. But there are other workplaces where it's just not possible. For example, cabin crew in airlines, taxi drivers, the deli counter I was in 5 minutes ago, should the girls are working and the guys are working beside each other, hospitals, pilots, restaurants, hairdressers are right beside each other, you know, and their clients, okay, they might be wearing a mask, beauticians and waxers. In other words, there is cases where you just have to kind of get
absolutely
on with it. What I'm talking about here is factoring in risk. Now, we know, and it's quite clear, the WHO themselves, their chief scientist, said that children are less capable of spreading the virus and are very low risk of getting the disease. And what we've seen in countries where schools have remained open is there have not been any outbreaks in schools. So, I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, no, Leicester has closed down because of an outbreak that started in a creche. So, you know, I wouldn't be quite so confident that there won't be any outbreaks. And of course, we're not going to get perfection. Of course, we're not going to get guarantees that nobody, you know, that there will be no virus in a school. But what we're saying is we need to put in people need to be
to clarify
to
by the way that about that creche. I want to clarify about that creche. That was the adults in the creche, by the way, the outbreak was in, not amongst the children.
But there are adults in schools as well.
Yeah.
And it's also not clear whether any of it came from the children, because some of the children were infected. I mean, what we're saying is we would like to get to as near as normal as possible, but we don't believe it is feasible immediately in a kind of big bang way to open schools as they were fully.
What do you say to Brendan Power, who's saying today, Brendan Power was on RT this morning, obviously talking about this in relation to the ASCI, and she said basically the schools are digging their heels in, kind of insinuating that you're just making it difficult. What do you say to those comments?
Well, I don't think that's fair. We have been trying, we've been looking for guidelines, we've been asking questions for weeks and weeks and haven't got the answers. The answers are beginning to come, and we are fully engaged with the department and with the other education partners in trying to do the best we can for the schools and for the students in them. We are as concerned as anybody else about the well-being of the students, and we are perfectly aware that this will cause big problems for students if they don't get back to school as much as they can, as soon as they can, and that's what we're trying to do. But it just even from the point of view of the parents and the students, the last thing we need is to do this too fast and then have the schools all closed down again in 3, 4, 5 weeks.
But when you say it too fast, they've already been off for 5 months, for God's sake.
No, no, but I mean the return. I mean the return.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but even by the time we get to September, you know, I mean, really, realistically, students need to be in school, not just for their education, which is their constitutional right, but apart from that, for their mental health, for their interaction with their friends and their peers. I mean, it's all part of growing up. And we've all been lucky enough to have that. I mean, and if we look at it, the bottom line of this is that the state can do very little more, Diarmaid, than suggest to the unions and to the teachers, these are the guidelines, you have to play with them, this is what we understand from the data we have, but realistically, you're at very little, if not no risk whatsoever, because these are children.
I don't think we're at no risk, and there are other issues besides the actual health issues. There are issues, there are the practical issues that I was talking about, there's the issues, and it will cost money. There will have to be changes to schools, there will have to be things, there will also have to be, as I said, I met with principals and deputy principals. The principals and deputy principals are at their wits' end at the moment. They're exhausted, they haven't had any time off. And I know they're not the only people, I know the healthcare workers have as well, but if you're a principal or of a school,
I can imagine.
You have not had a break, and you are not likely now to have any sort of break, and you will have this huge extra workloads. So one of the things
It's not even extra work, it's a dilemma apart from anything else. How do I do this?
Yes, and one among the suggestions that came, for example, from the meeting I had yesterday were, look, could we have a few days at the start of the school year where we and our teachers and whatever could have a bit of training and a bit of, you know, so how do we handle this? How do we do this correctly?
What do you mean a few days at the start of the school year?
Well, that instead of opening on Monday, you open on the Friday. But
they've had five months. I mean, and another 2 months in the summer.
First of all, the principals I'm talking about have had no time at all and are not likely to get any time. But just that there could be a pause and people could be trained and things could be put in position. But also that there could be support. That, in other words, and I mean by being that people, that they could say, well, we're going to free up some teachers and bring in substitutes to do whatever we have to, who will then assist in a lot of this work, because it's not actually manageable for one or two people at the moment.
But you know and I know, even with the guidelines, these are the guidelines, right, set out, okay? This is not possible. Because realistically, but more so in secondary school, whatever about primary school, where they're all staying more or less in one class.
Yes.
In secondary school, you know, you have your biology, your sciences, your technical drawing, woodwork.
That's a big issue.
So kids have to move around from class to class.
Yes.
And these are different kids from different classes. It's not all the same kids from the same class. They're not going to be able to stay in bubbles or pods or whatever the suggestion
might
be.
No, they're not.
Not going to happen. They're going to pass each other in hallways. They're going to be going to the bathroom for a quick one, whatever it is, before they go into their class. They are going to be interacting with each other. But the argument is that they're interacting outside school anyway.
No, but one of the things you started by saying, well, the children don't spread the disease. We're talking, by the way, in secondary schools of young adults. We're not talking about 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. We're talking about obviously from 12, but up to 17, 18, 19-year-olds. So there are issues there.
I'm just saying to you, statistics point out clearly that 1% of children under the age of 15 and over the age of 12 have been infected by COVID-19. 1% of those infected.
But secondary schools are not mainly children under the age of 15 and over the age of 15.
There are some, obviously, over the age of 15. I agree with you.
There are an awful lot. But also, now, look, I want to emphasise, we actually want a solution to this. We just want to be sure that the best is being done.
But everybody wants a solution to it.
Keep interrupting me. Answers have been very, very slow to come. They're beginning to come, and we welcome that. And we are absolutely prepared to sit down with the department and with the other education partners and work out the best way of doing this. But what I don't want a kind of promise to say, well, look, we're going to open as normal, and then it's not going to happen, no more than... But we do want to get as close to that as is possible. And there are lots of other side issues to be dealt with, like teachers, SNAs, our students.
I have just a text in from an SNA, and they're saying they're not being consulted by anybody, which is quite ironic that you mentioned SNAs. So the SNAs are texting in at the moment. But I don't doubt for a minute, Diarmaid, that your teachers want to go back to work. And I don't doubt their intentions. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't doubt their intentions. But what I've heard from yourself and from your General Secretary and from the TUI and the INTO is that we want a safe work, or we want to be guaranteed a safe workplace. Let me quote what he said again. He said they wanted a virus-secure workplace. This is what Kieran Christie said today on RTE. Yeah. Nobody is going to guarantee you that. Nobody can guarantee you that.
I think you're kind of, you know, inflating. Okay, what he's saying. What he's saying is you want, as near as possible, the best and healthiest and safest environment that we can do. We can agree. And we have to sit down, as I say, with the department and work out how to do this where and it's difficult. It's very, very difficult.
It's impossible. It's impossible, Diarmaid, and you know it's impossible, and so do I. We all know it's impossible to provide that, to provide...
No, it's not impossible to try and get the best balance. As all, take schools aside, as people keep talking about, there's a balance here to be had between health and between health in relation to the virus and between getting back to normal work, and in this case, the health of the students in terms of their well-being and the teachers and everybody else, they can have a normal life. But we can't go all one way or all the other. We have to try and work the best way to provide the safest possible. And I accept that it's not going to be 100% safe. But I also don't want it to be 100% dangerous or reckless.
No, I'm not suggesting it to be reckless. Like this morning I was on the way into work and I seen six lads on a construction site carrying a huge thing of plasterboard. It looked like plasterboard sheets.
Yeah.
And there were six of them carrying it. They were no more than about 2 feet apart, I would say. It had to be done. It's one of those things has to be done.
Look,
so the point is that people have to make sacrifices.
They do. But there's a slight difference between carrying something for 5-10 minutes and being in a classroom all day with 30 young adults.
Well, I would suggest being in the classroom with people, particularly those under the age of 15, whatever about those between 15 and 18 years of age, which again the risk would be quite small. I imagine that risk is probably even lower.
I don't know. I don't know how you base that, because
I'm basing it on World Health Organization figures.
But one of the things that they keep saying is the time spent is absolutely. You know that if you're more than 15 minutes in near somebody, that's more serious than if you're 5 or 10 minutes. They've said that from the very start.
I mean, the problem we have is that we don't have too much evidence in relation to school settings, because of course the schools are the
probably,
first thing to
close.
Okay,
yes.
But
we may have more by a month's time.
But what we do have is, and this was conducted by the HSE and Eurosurveillance, and they said as many countries begin to lift the restrictions to contain the COVID spread, a lack of evidence of transmission to school settings remains. We examined Irish notifications of COVID-19 in the school setting before the school closures on the 12th of March 2020 and identified no paediatric transmission. This adds to the current evidence that children do not appear to be drivers of the transmission, and we argue that reopening the schools should be considered safe accompanied by certain measures.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about, what those measures should be. And naturally, I hope you accept, my concern has to be for the health, safety and well-being of everybody in the school, but particularly of our members. And we will work to ensure that that is as best protected as can be. But we will, and we have always said, we will be guided ultimately by the medical guidance. And the medical guidance says there have to be certain measures put in place, and we want to make sure those measures are the best possible and the safest for our members, for the SNAs as well, for the other people working in the school, and for the students in the school and their families. But we're not saying no. But now are we saying we're just going to accept whatever is presented without discussion and argument about points and coming to the best solution for everybody? But I want to emphasise, we do want to go back to school, and we want to go back to school as fully as possible.
I think that most teachers agree with you, and I genuinely believe that you believe that as well, and I believe the unions believe that, but it doesn't look like that from what we're hearing in the media over the last 3 or 4 days. That's not the way it's coming across.
Well, I think that's unfortunate, because I think that's, and I think everybody has said that, and we do mean that, and we do absolutely believe that. And I mean, I think to be fair, during this crisis, teachers have stepped up to the plate. They've done everything possible, and they've, you know, whether it was the remote learning, whether it was, you know, agreeing to something that is fundamentally difficult for teachers, and as you know, the idea of the predicted grading and all that. We have done all that. We've done all that because we realise there's a crisis here. We realise that the things have to be different.
In fairness, David, we've all adapted to our jobs.
We have. But there's some adaptations are bigger than others. But also, it is our job and it is my job to make sure that that things are as safe as they possibly can be, and I won't make any apologies for that.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air. Dermot Dupuir, Deputy General Secretary of the ASTI. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. You can give us a call if you want, or a text, 087-188-0008. Send us a text or an WhatsApp message if you want to as well. Are you happy about what you've just heard? Mind you, the INTO, not so much, but certainly the CUI are more or less saying the same thing. If you watch Primetime last night, the argument constantly is these are the guidelines set out in relation to COVID-19 and every single workplace, of course, that has to be safe and secure. The argument against that is, for school teachers, is that children are certainly less of a risk. And the data is there to show that. I mean, for example, I mentioned there data in relation to, say, the United Kingdom. Out of all the deaths in the United Kingdom, how many children do you think died under the age of 15? How many would you imagine? You're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, it's probably low because Niall is making a bit of an issue out of it here. So out of the, 70 or 80,000 people that has died in the United Kingdom, many people under the age of 15? The answer is 3. And all 3 of them had serious underlying conditions, and they don't believe the COVID-19 was the cause of their death. They just happened to have COVID-19. 3. Under the age of 15, they were also over the age of 12. So realistically, the risk is so, so low. Where all other jobs, for example, if you're working in a supermarket or if you're working in an office or if you're dealing with adults. School teachers are dealing with children. Yes, they are dealing with each other who are adults. And to point out, he mentioned that creche, by the way, in Leicester they closed down. But the reason it closed down is because adults actually got COVID-19. It wasn't because the children got it. Right? And they don't believe the children pass it on. Well, I think we'll have to find out a bit more about that as we go on. I'm sure they do contact tracing and everything else. But let me go to Linda. Linda, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Linda?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
You're an SNA and you feel you're kind of being left out of the loop.
Yes. So I kind of have to I kind of have to disagree slightly with your guest there, who then like to mention SNAs because usually we don't get.
Well, he only mentioned them because I mentioned them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic. The Oireachtas met the committee on going back to school, and of course SNAs, the Fourth of Trade Union, were left out. Our trade union said it's insulting and elitist, which it is. I mean, teachers teach in the class. SNAs sit beside the children in the class, and any SNA I've spoken to in relation to my colleagues are happy to go back to work.
Okay, so you're happy to sit back in a class beside a student?
Absolutely. Look, now the way it is, I obviously won't say the school I work in. In September, I've got my class for the year. I'm with an autistic early intervention group, 6 children under the age of 6, and there's going to be no social distancing. It's not possible.
But realistically, as I mentioned, the risk is so low.
Look, so low, Niall. And I mean, like, we need to get back. Children have been forgotten during this pandemic. And I know some teachers, as your guest was saying, have stepped up to the plate and stuff. Everybody stepped up to the plate. I mean, look at RTE. Look at the people that went out and put their lives on the line when they were dealing with adults. So we can deal with children. They're not super spreaders.
I've looked up the amount of evidence that I looked up this morning in preparation for today's show, and I could read it all out, and I'd be here all day reading most of it out, but it all says more or less the same thing, that children, Niall, certainly under the age of 15, are no risk.
I watch Primetime, I'm on a lot of groups with SNAs, we're speaking out. We don't have a problem going back, but our problem is that the teachers have an issue of going back. And this back and forth and media, it's scaremongering to get the parents riled up about teachers not wanting to.
But there's loads
back.
Of occupations where people have just had to bite the bullet. I mean, I mentioned a few earlier on there, like cabin crew on planes. They don't keep 1 metre distance. Taxi drivers have their passengers sitting behind them, for God's sake.
If you read the plans for going back to school, like suddenly then when it comes to third class, they're going to ask children socially distance. It's Joe McHugh made all of this, and then it's like his time came to an end, and now he's sitting back, and now the new minister's having to go, right, what
I'm sure he's breaking a shite laugh and sitting at home going, I'm glad I'm out of that mess. I'm glad I'm out of that mess.
I think I was blocked from his Twitter, the way he treated SNAs.
I mean, I do understand that everybody wants the safest environment possible, mind you, I do believe there's a bit of an overreaction, but I think everybody wants the safest environment possible. But I mean, there is no possible way to guarantee anybody in any workplace, no less a school, that your environment is safe. There's no way of guaranteeing that.
The schools was one of the first things to close down, the 13th of March or whenever it was. They've been closed down before nearly everything else, before the full lockdown. So, I mean, we're talking, what, 4 or 5 months the children have been off. Like, I mean, there's going to be kind of damage. And if you had a weaker child, I know teachers tried their best and everything during it, but there's no doubt the children have suffered. They need to go back and see their friends.
Well, there are, I mean, see, there are some children who can deal. I mean, I remember we were talking about this in the office one day, and Helene and myself and Tara and everybody else. And some of us were saying, look, if that happened to us, I'd be grand, I'd be able to study. But there was others saying, absolutely no way. No. I just doss for the whole 5 months. You know what I mean? So,
but Niall, how can they throw out that they want to have the 1 metre or the 2 metre, whatever it is that they, whatever day of the week they decide to change that? Yes, there's contact sports have been allowed to resume and stuff, but we're saying that, no, the kids can't go back to school. Like, I have 2 children, Niall. I wouldn't want anything to happen to them. But am I going to take a risk? Am I going to send them back to their creches and to their schools? Yes, because...
But I mean, when you look at... But again, I want to point out about the... Because I hate to even hear... Well, not you say it, but people say, am I going to take a risk? I mean, we take a risk when we send our children to school all the time. There's all sorts of viruses and diseases. And sadly, some children, you know, will come a cropper to some of these things and become unwell. And over time, some children have died of diseases they get in school. I mean, different viruses, meningitis, absolutely, all sorts of different things, right? But chicken pox and all sorts of different carry-on measles. There's been a few cases of that around the country over the last few years. But the point is, the risk of this particular virus in children is just so, it's just infinitesimal. It's so small.
And I think Philip, is it the he's on Netflix, he was on last night with Tony, and he said basically it is a risk, but so is when you're in a car, we put safety procedures in place like airbags and seatbelts if something was to happen to you. This is kind of the same. Like, we have to take the risk. There's going to be risks in everything. You know, you get in your car every day. Is there a risk you're going to crash?
Well, this is what was pointed out to us a couple of weeks ago, that in a lot of cases, you've probably a higher risk of being killed in the car on the way to the school than you would actually in the school.
And let's be honest, Niall, there's some drivers and the carry-on that goes on outside school.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so would you, I know Brenda Power was giving out the pay there this morning on RTE, and she was kind of insinuating that the teachers are digging their heels in and that basically, they're looking for any excuse, you know, to make it as difficult as possible. That's kind of what she said. I'm just paraphrasing what she's kind of saying.
We have to just go back. Like,
Do you think teachers are being awkward? Well, not teachers per se, but certainly the unions. Do you think they're being awkward?
The unions, yeah. But you know what's funny, Niall? We had this discussion, myself and yourself and Helena, a couple of weeks back, right? This is teachers coming out. But yeah, SNA is how we were treated through the pandemic. If they had treated the teachers the way they spoke to all of the SNAs during the pandemic, they'd be on strike right now. And the teachers are now digging their heels in, or the teachers' unions, should I say, are digging their heels in because they're like, oh, we better go and do something for them. But yeah, we were left in the dark.
I couldn't believe it, by the way, when he said we might need a few days off in September to do some training. And I'm going, what? You've been off since March.
You don't get days off. We get Crow Park days, which are days because of the...
But why would they want days off? They've been off since March.
We'll probably go back in August before the kids go back. Usually you do kind of child protection training, that kind of thing, before the children come back. It's normal. You'd have a couple of days in the school with no kids. I don't think anybody needs more time off now.
I mean, I don't see how much training you would need. I mean, look, to be honest with you, going by the guidelines, the only thing I do agree with the unions is, going by those guidelines, we will never open the schools.
No.
So that's not going to change. So I believe this is going to come a cropper. I believe there's going to be a huge problem. And I believe, genuinely, if we're going to continue down this route, or the unions continue to dig their heels in relation to these guidelines and making it a secure place to work in, there will be no schools open in September.
Then if they do the whole, they're in for a couple of days, they're off, like, where do people send their
kids? That's not going to... So what difference does it make if they're in for 3 days or 2 days?
That's what I'm saying. No. Like, you know, like, we have to look at places like Sweden. They sent the children back and, you know, it's worked out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Niall, do you know what? I wish it was September. I wish I had a crystal ball to see. But in my eyes, I'm going back to work in August or September, and I'm going back 5 days, and I'm going to be with the same children all day, because that's my job.
I wish this was like Dallas. I wish I was Bobby in Dallas. I could go in and have a shower, come out and think the whole thing was just a dream.
But like, you know, Niall, people can go and get a pint now and chicken wings, whatever they want, right? But like the children going back to school,
Oh, by the way, forget the pint. You have to mention as well that you must buy a €9 meal because that's the cure for COVID-19, I believe.
105 minutes.
Yeah, that's also the cure for COVID-19. Yeah. Listen, none of this is based on sciences, and thank you very much indeed, Lyndon. I appreciate you coming on the air and all the SNAs out there. Well, I value you. My daughter used an SNA many years ago, and I do value you. And I think most parents out there, obviously with children who need the assistance of an SNA at some point in their lives, absolutely value the SNAs. They're just as important in the classroom as the teachers.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.